Good morning. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You remember. All right. Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. We're going to take a closer look at the lesson here, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 21. Afterwards, so this is after Jesus appeared the second, the first Sunday after Easter, he appeared to Thomas. That's what we talked about last week. So now he's going to appear to the disciples again. And the word in the Greek actually manifested is a better interpretation. Jesus manifested himself again to his disciples because it means to display fully or clearly. So it's more than just appeared. By the Sea of Tiberias, and the Sea of Tiberias was known as the Sea of Galilee also, or the Sea of Gennesaret, had many names, just like all of us, okay? And it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, or the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. By the way, James and John are not mentioned in John's Gospel. We believe it's because of the humility of John, the disciple who wrote the Gospel, that he didn't want to speak of himself or his brother. And two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." Now, we don't know if they just wanted to go out and relax and get their mind off stuff, or if they needed the money, or if they were going to return to their old occupation, all right? I don't believe it has to be a both, or this or that. It can be a both and. I think it's a combination of them. And I think Peter was probably thinking, man, it'd be cool just to start being a fisherman again, all right? But that's their decision. They're going to go fishing. And it's really kind of interesting because they've seen the risen Christ twice, right? You figure if he rose from the dead and talked to them, don't you think you'd want to at least tell somebody about it, you know? Instead, let's go fishing, all right? So, they go out fishing. They got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. It's kind of interesting because these disciples had all worked miracles before when Jesus sent them out, right? They'd raised the dead, driven out demons, and now they can't even catch a fish, all right? So early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And once again, we're not sure why they didn't recognize Jesus. It could have been too dark. He could have been too far from them. They could have been too tired from being up all night fishing. Jesus looked slightly different with his glorified body. Or maybe God didn't want to reveal Jesus to him at that time. Once again, it doesn't have to be this or that. It can be both and. Okay, it's probably a combination of things. But they didn't know it was Jesus. And then he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And what's interesting is friends, in the Greek, it's not friends, it's children. So, imagine if you'd been fishing all night and someone from the shore shouts, "Children, have you caught anything?" Okay? If you're a professional fisherman, I imagine you might have a few words for him, right? Okay? But Jesus says, "Children, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they might have been thinking, you know, maybe he can see something we can't from the shore. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net of fish. Doesn't this story sound familiar, though? Yes, it does. If we take a look at Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was alive on earth with them, okay? I'm going to read 5, verse 3 through 7. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came in and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Isn't it amazing that the disciples didn't connect the dots? All right? They'd have to be saying, hasn't this happened before? You know? But they didn't. They didn't recognize Jesus. This is an ongoing problem for humankind from day one. And that's recognizing the kingdom of God and listening to God. All right? It starts in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Later, though, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And we have been large and in charge ever since, right? We know best, right? So we fight listening to God and seeking His will, not our will. From the very beginning, right? From the very beginning. Isaiah 30. The Lord says, woe to the obstinate children, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Once again, it's been an ongoing problem for us, right? Obstinate children, right? Luke 12, on Mother's Day, I guess we understand that, right? Do I hear an amen? Luke 12, this is when Jesus was teaching a parable. And the man in the parable thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, what would have happened if he would have listened to God first or consulted God? Okay. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then James, we're going to skip to verse 13. It says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. How long does a mist last in Arizona? Not long, right? Okay. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. But in our own eyes, we always know best, right? Absolutely. But in reality, is that true? Do we really know what's best? No. It reminds me of the leadership here. Thank you, Pastor. I had one over there, but thanks anyway. All right? The leadership, Pastor Perry and I, and the leadership here, and the entire church, we wanted to have a daycare. Remember that? The last couple of years, right? So we had one, took a year, nothing ever happened with it. So then we had somebody else who came in and wanted to have a daycare. And the idea was we were going to have a daycare, and then we'd build a fellowship hall out here that probably would have cost $100,000 plus, okay? But then with the daycare, we'd have money, and we could possibly get Pastor Perry on full time. That was our plan, right? That was our plan. Sounds good, right? Okay. So then we have the second daycare come in. That goes about 7 months. Nothing happens, and finally they say we can't do it. All right? All the council members are going, yeah, yeah, yeah. So then, here we are. The second daycare is canceled out. And we have the three classrooms over here. We still don't have a fellowship hall. The back of the sanctuary, whenever we have worship, sounds like a kitchen, all right? And that's how our plans work out, right? See? Even with the wireless mic, okay? So I'm going to leave it at that, and then we're going to continue, and I'm going to return to that later. Verse 6, he said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, and this is how John describes himself in this gospel, okay, as the disciple Jesus loved. It is the Lord. Finally, somebody gets it, right? Somebody understands it. You might want to turn it down a little bit, Daryl, okay? As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Dr. Yeudley says that they wore something kind of like long underwear, and they would take their outer garment off and fold down the top part of the underwear, and that's how they would work, okay? So when he saw it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and jumped into the water, okay? The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. I don't think I could swim 100 yards. I'd need Doc. I would need Doc, all right? And he's saying, I didn't come to church for that, okay? I could not swim 100 yards, but Peter could. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with a fish on it and some bread. It's interesting, this is only the second time that burning coals are mentioned. When's the other time? No. When Peter was warming himself by the fire on the night when Jesus was being tried. Okay, so Peter should know something's coming up here, okay? But they listened to Jesus. And what's interesting is in the beginning, going back to the beginning, humankind walked and talked with God. They lived in a relationship with Him. Once again, in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created a male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Do you see? God blessed them and said to them. And they could hear. They could hear God's voice. Wow. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, and they heard it, okay? I give you every seed-bearing plant in the face of the whole earth. Then every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground. Everything that has the breath of life in it, I will give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And this is the first time He says very good. Up to this point, He says it's good. But when He creates us, He says very good. All right? And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day, and the Lord God commanded the man. Once again, He's talking to the man. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. But they were able to walk and talk in the garden with God. Would that be paradise or what? I mean, just to say, come on, God, let's go for a walk. Well, hopefully He'd say, Rick, come on, let's go for a walk, all right? But that's been God's desire from the beginning, right? To live in a loving, intimate relationship with us. That's all God has ever wanted. He's wanted to talk to us and have us listen to Him. Psalm 132. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. Matthew 23, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers your chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And don't you see, isn't this what God was doing in the beginning with Adam and Eve? like a mother chick, pulling him in under the wings, right? So finally, in Jesus, though, God restores us into that relationship with Himself like Adam and Eve had. David understood this and he prophesied in Psalm 40, "I desire to do Your will, O my God, Your law is within my heart." That's what the Messiah would do, okay? And as believers, that's what we should desire to do. 1 Chronicles 29, David said, "I know, my God, that You test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly Your people who are here have given to You. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of Your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to You." Did David understand? Absolutely, right? He said, keep Your people in that relationship with You, God. We need to be in that relationship with You. But we experience a tension, right? Because do we always want to live in that relationship with God? No, we fight it, right? Because we know better. Romans 8, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires, what God wants, right? Once again in Galatians chapter 5, for the sinful nature's desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. And isn't that the truth, right? Don't we have that battle in us? We know what God wants us to do, right? And we know what's right. But we still sin, right? And I believe it's all a battle over control. Because we want to control our lives, right? So what is the answer? In Romans 7, Paul says, "But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging a war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Let's read this together. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's in Jesus Christ that we can overcome this fallen nature we have. Remember the fellowship hall? Okay. So what happened is I pray every morning, and I was praying one morning after the second daycare fell through, and I'm sitting there praying. I'm going, "Man, God, we're in one heck of a mess. We wanted to have this Christian daycare, and it's a mess, you know." And then it's like the Lord spoke to me. And He said, "Rick, why don't you just tear out a couple walls and have a large kitchen, and tear out one wall and you'll have a large fellowship hall with the three classrooms you have over here." And I said, "Ah, that won't work." But I kept praying, and the thought came to me, and as the thought came to me, you know, I think I called Robin, and then I called Perry, and everybody I mentioned it to, everybody was excited about the idea, right? Because I was thinking, that won't cost $100,000, okay? And it didn't. It cost $3,000, okay? And that's something our church could afford, all right? And obviously, I think we saw the results. The best results was on Easter Sunday. It was so nice to have a separate fellowship hall over there and have a worship space here, right? We finally listened to God, right? We finally listened to God. And it's not because I'm special or Pastor Perry's special. The Lord, if we open our ears and listen, He'll guide us. He'll guide us in the right way to go. Life is so much better when we listen to God. Amen? You even have a fellowship hall and bacon and all kinds of stuff. So. Oh, I knocked the water over. Okay, sorry, Pastor. Okay. Verse 10. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. Doesn't that sound like Peter? Rather than just getting a couple fish, "Oh, I'll bring the whole thing," you know. And it was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Remember before the net was started to tear? It's not tearing now. Okay? Because Christ is risen. He's very good. 153, it could be an eyewitness account. But with John, numbers always mean something. And St. Jerome said that there, at that time they believed there was 153 different types of fish within the whole world. Okay? So what he's saying is that it was all types of fish. Every kind of fish in the whole world was brought in this net, and it didn't tear. So if you look at the church as being the net, right, then we can have all kinds of people come in here, right? Amen. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. So Jesus eats with them. Once again, he's physically resurrected, okay? This was now the third time Jesus appeared. He appeared two times in chapter 20, you remember, to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Did he only appear to them these three times? No. If we go back to chapter 20, verse 30, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing you may have life in him. So there were many other things that Jesus did, right? And imagine how many times he appeared to the disciples in 40 days. And later on we hear that he appeared to James, his brother, his stepbrother, okay? So it's not just three times, okay? But things go better when we listen to God, and we're supposed to reach out to all people. All people. Isaiah 25, Isaiah writes, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. He will swallow up death forever." Sounds familiar, huh? "The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces." Not just Lutheran faces, from all faces. "He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth." It's all inclusive. Romans 10. "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All right? Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." So we're commanded to love all people to Jesus Christ. That's where we get our mission statement, correct? But people will say, "But Pastor, we're too small for more people. I won't know everybody if we grow." And the new people will want changes. They're different than us. They may bring in a bunch of kids. And the kids may walk around the church or make noise, or the babies may cry. Or what other excuses do we have? They don't tithe, right? They don't tithe. They're coming out of jail. They'll never tithe. And you know, did you hear that in seminary, Pastor? I did. I couldn't believe it. There was a class we had, and the idea was the people who had no money, you wouldn't want them around anyway because they're not really going to support the church financially. This is what we were told in seminary. Can you believe that? When I heard that, I just... Whoa. I didn't hear it at Fuller, okay? So I'll just let you fill in the blank, all right? But the net will not break, okay? Everybody say, the net will not break, okay? Now I'm going to use another story. I used one from Megashift on Wednesday because I gave Pastor a copy of the book and he's using all the stories. So I'm going to use them before he uses them, all right? So neener, 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 Pastor. Okay. This is a real story, okay? There's a pastor in India who lives in Madras, and his name's Sadhu Chalapa. And I hope I'm saying that right. Sadhu Chalapa. He's a pastor and an evangelist there. And one night, he's in his house, and he's sleeping, and all of a sudden, he hears the voice of God. And the voice of God says, "Get up and run as grab your Bible and run out of your house as fast as you can." So he's used to hearing the voice of God, unlike us, okay? So he hears the voice, and he grabs his Bible, and he just runs out of the house. And he's running down the road with his Bible in the middle of the night, okay? Because God told him to. And then he hears God say, "Stop!" So he stops. And then there's nothing there. And he stopped next to this big tree. And mind you, it's the middle of the night. And then he hears the word of the Lord come to him and says, "Preach." And like me, he says, "Lord, there's nobody here. What are you talking about?" Okay. And he says, "Preach." So he says, "Okay." So he starts preaching. For 2 hours, he preaches under this tree, and there's nobody there in the middle of the night. Okay? Finally, he hears a voice, and a man climbs down from the tree, and he's weeping. And he says, "Pastor, I was going to hang myself. But," he says, "now I want to become a Christian." This is the attitude we need to have here in the United States, right? Where we listen to God. And even though it sounds foolish, listen to God, all right? You know, at Amazing Grace here, we've experienced so many can'ts. "Pastor, you can't do Latino ministry. You're not a Latino." You remember that, Donna? Yep. "You can't use CDs in worship. Impossible. This church can't afford a new fellowship hall. This church can't afford a new parking lot. Released inmates in our church can't have that. Jail churches in Sheriff Joe's jails? Are you kidding? PowerPoint? We're going to use PowerPoint, not hymnals? I think that's a heresy, okay? Not enough money for this, not enough money for that. Not enough money to have Pastor Perry on, even part-time." Okay? And what's God say? Listen. Right? Listen to me. Pardon? Raspberry. He gives us the raspberry, right? All those cans, hear a giant raspberry from the sky, all right? That's very good. I like that. Okay? I think I've heard that raspberry before. All right? Okay. So, friends, our God is big. The net will not break. And why don't you read that? Our God is big. The net will not break. Listen and see what God can do. It's not up to God, right? It's up to us. And Donna, before worship, we were talking about, you know, what the Lord has done here in 40 years. I mean, you know, imagine if people who were here 40 years ago, if they came here today and saw what was, they wouldn't know the church at all, okay? You hardly know it, okay? But thanks be to God, He's alive and He's working at Amazing Grace. And the key is the last line, listen and see what God can do. And when we focus on what He can do, is anything impossible? No. And the net will not tear.